So I'm Victoria Sanchez, and my co-authors on this are Ron Hale and Christina Carrillo and Mark Andrews. I'm really happy because Ron and Christina are here in the audience. Ron and Christina, and at the time we did the work, Ron was with the Public Health Division and Christina still is. Ron continues to work with me on other projects. I also want to mention that one of our early collaborators was my long-term colleague, Nina Wallerstein, who helped and influenced us in our work in New Mexico. And I'm from New Mexico, although I spent 14 years in North Carolina. So I'm going to spend the next few minutes and talk about the development of this participatory evaluation model for our New Mexico system of health councils, describe very briefly the creation of an online internet reporting system, and then share with you some very brief examples of the data that we were able to collect and disseminate to the health councils. So this is New Mexico, and we have a state public or a centralized public health division. We have regions in New Mexico, so we don't have boards of health as in North Carolina and other places. We have regional offices, and every health council has been part and parcel of one of these regions. This is a kind of an old map, and we've had a few changes. Christina's going to correct me in a little bit. But anyway, in 1991, health councils were actually established by law through the MCH, or Maternal Child Health Planning Act. And they were established around maternal child health issues, but over the years, they have really expanded their scope and their purpose, but not necessarily their concrete foundations as coordination and planning units that represent the public health interests in New Mexico. So they've been around since 1991 and under the auspices and direction of the Public Health Division. So in 2006, when I was still in North Carolina, Christina called me up and said, the Secretary of Health wants to know why we're putting $2.5 million into community health councils. What kinds of outcomes are we seeing from the work of health councils? And so I embarked on this multi-year process with Christina and Ron and others to actually discover that. So our efforts were really the first wide statewide evaluation of these non-categorical partnerships, and it was really, we thought this was an important step forward in really not only starting to evaluate the health councils, but really illuminating the work of the health councils for everybody in the community. So very briefly, this is our four-year process. The first year was really a year of discovery. We did a comprehensive document review. We looked at about 180 minute meetings from health councils. We analyzed those using a qualitative research package. We did a literature review on coalitions, and we engaged in multiple participatory processes to really talk to people who had been working with health councils throughout the state at many different levels to really try to understand what did health councils do, and why should we be thinking about, and how can we start to think about how we evaluate them. The next year, Ron had already joined our little band of merry people, and we started to think about, well, if we're going to be evaluating health councils, then maybe we ought to be thinking about linking the idea of planning and evaluation with councils. So we engaged on not only creating an evaluation plan, but concurrently coming up with a planning model and planning process. And Ron took a huge lead in developing that planning document. So it was a really nice way, after almost two decades of really having a convergent planning and evaluation model that was established for the New Mexico Health Council. We used this second year to modify what had been the guiding framework to identify relevant intermediate outcomes, and I'll show those to you in a little bit, and then to prioritize intermediate outcomes and indicators. We did this in full participation with health councils, so we didn't go back to the literature specifically, but we used what we learned in that first year and the literature to come up with these indicators, and as well as talking to everybody throughout the state of New Mexico, and that's quite a feat because we have a large state. The third year, we basically had developed this online system. We piloted it with 10 councils, first on paper, then went to 20 councils in the internet system, and then finally we went what I call to scale with all 32 councils. As an aside, we also have 5 tribal health councils that we were working with, but because of tribal sovereignty and other things, I don't share those data in public. Yes, their data only. Thank you. And then the last year, we were able to have a full year's worth of data, so we were able to analyze that and start thinking about what happened. The thing that happened in 2010, however, was that the economic downturn also had financial repercussions for our public health division, and the health council funding was suspended, and so we actually only have this year of data that I can report today. So just as a review, the guiding framework that was in place for the health councils was this IOM, Community Health Improvement Framework. It's not really a model that is that you can use to create a plan, but it actually helped us frame the kind of components that we would be looking at in the evaluation. This is a little bit difficult to read, but we translated the community health improvement process, and this is one of our final models. We have multiple iterations of logic models. But we looked at these CHIP cycles and thought about, well, councils have to develop as partnerships, and we assessed those using the Coalition Self-Assessment Survey, the CSAS, that had been used in many other coalitions. And I won't be reporting those results today because it was a different instrument entirely. But councils have to be as organized as partnerships in order to plan, prioritize, in order to engage in community action. And so the community actions that we were most interested in looking at were those actions that dealt with changes at the social ecological level in terms of changes in organizations, social environments, and policies, and then how those actually led to these systems level changes, which we identified or determined to be changes in practices, policies, programs, or services. And that's not new in the literature. Steve Fawcett and a lot of other people have been looking at these intermediate systems changes and coalitions for a number of years. We just conceptualized them a little bit differently. Is that Barbara Lariah? So what we ended up doing was we asked ourselves at the end of this couple of year process, the guiding evaluation question was, what do health councils do that lead to these intermediate health systems changes and then ultimately contribute to those longer term health outcomes? The challenge for us was, how do you create this reporting system that can collect data across a very diverse state where councils were saying, we are so unique, we're unique, we don't do the same work as other councils. And so that proved to be a fairly huge challenge for us over the life of this evaluation. So I'm just going to go through these really quickly. We came up with about 27 intermediate outcomes. These first 9 were in that first ring, the council development process, and these are outcomes that councils all thought could be important to them, but not necessarily were important. In terms of the second ring of assessment and prioritization, there were fewer, there were only 6. But again, we took these to the councils and we talked about them. And then in terms of this last intermediate outcome of action, which was coordination and leadership as we redefined it, there were 12 of these, so there were quite a number of intermediate outcomes for us to distill down. The way we did that is we went back to the council, back to the communities, and did this very sophisticated dot marking exercise. So people were able to actually decide what outcomes were most important for them to be able to follow and track for their own particular councils. We did that across the state for all 32 councils and the tribal councils. We narrowed down the list of these intermediate outcomes to a list that we thought we were able to do, given fairly limited funding and fairly limited staffing. And everybody pretty much agreed on these final intermediate outcomes. During these voting exercises where we were looking at what intermediate outcomes councils wanted to include in their evaluation, We also asked them to help us develop indicators, and the way we posed that to them was, how do you know when you've reached this outcome? What's the evidence that we can use to build that? So that took about a couple of years just to go through this first initial stage. So this is just a very small sample of the outcomes and indicators that we eventually came up with. So under council development, you know, whether the council was recognized as a health planning body or hub was an important outcome for them to track. Under community assessment, emerging issues, and under community action, these are only examples, enhanced networks and partnerships. So under the community action cycle, we actually had 5 intermediate outcomes. And I'll go through some data really quickly. One of the things that I wanted to mention is that in our community health councils, most councils worked in multiple health priority areas. So councils work anywhere in between 2 and 6 priority areas. So when we look at this, I'm setting this as a context. We had 20 health councils that had said they were working in access to care, 18 in substance abuse, 17 in teen pregnancy, 14 in obesity, which had been an emerging issue over the last several years given the rising obesity problem in this country. So we collected data across these priority areas, but we limited it up to 5 priorities per council because otherwise the database would have been much too unwieldy. So in terms of this first intermediate outcome, enhanced networks and partnerships by priority area, these are just basic counts of how many reports councils submitted for this 1-year interim report. And so you can see that there were 197 reports on access to care, almost 200 on substance abuse, 83 on interpersonal violence, and so on. You can look at this chart yourself. So that was telling us that they were actually looking at how to improve and increase these networks and partnerships. So some of the indicators that we use, these are sample. So the number of shared planning projects that they reported were over 1,000, and that included planning a town hall meeting about underage drinking, planning after-school programs, continuation of school-based mental health services. So again, acting as coordination and planning bodies for their local communities. In terms of new linkages between community organizations or programs, they reported almost 3,000. And an example of that would be partnering with local organizations to implement programs or to bring screening to a community. Community health councils in and of themselves don't provide direct services, but what we really found over time and time again was that they create linkages and they bring community services together and are able to leverage community resources much more coherently in most cases. So in terms of funds leverage, again, the state of New Mexico appropriated about $2.5 million a year for many years to health councils. During the year we collected these data, we found that health councils were able to leverage or bring in new resources into their communities, totaling about $3.5 million. So that was, what's the word, return on investment? So I think that there may have been a good return on investment. Ron Hale had actually done a study a couple of years before just on this, and he reported that councils were able to bring in about $25 million. So we weren't able to show that this year, but it might have been because of the downturn in the economy as well. But you can see they brought in about $650,000 for substance abuse programming, $560,000 for suicide prevention. We have a lot of suicide problem in New Mexico in our adolescent population. So again, this was a very important thing for health councils to be working on. Access to care, almost $800,000. Fitness and nutrition, that was kind of an anomaly. That was, I think, probably a 1-year event. But you can see that councils were able to, through coordinating and planning, bring in new funds into their community. In terms of policy, we think policy is fairly important for partnerships and coalitions to be engaged, and we can see that about 15 of the partnerships were working in policies around substance abuse and access to care, 13 in teen pregnancy, 12 in obesity, and then down to 1 in immunization. We have an immunization coalition in New Mexico, and my guess is, and I don't know this for sure, this was part of the work of the Immunization Coalition. In terms of policy indicators, there were about 79 reports of policy change initiatives that were formally backed by the councils, 189 reports about discussions on policy initiatives at council meetings, and council membership represents a wide diversity of who is at the table in the community. And so when we hear that there are almost 200 discussions of policy change initiatives in a small state of, like New Mexico, I think that's a good indicator of progress moving towards being more involved in policy. And then discussing advocacy strategies at health council meetings, we had almost 300 discussions. The people who actually submitted reports to the online system were council coordinators who were the paid staff of each council. And so we looked at how they wrote about their council's work, and these are the four kind of main areas in policy: serving as the hub for information about existing policies, promoting change or augmenting existing policies, examining potential impact of proposed policies, and helping to introduce ballot initiatives, for example, mill levies and sales taxes, alcohol sales taxes, tobacco sales taxes, sweetened beverage sales taxes, things like that. So one of the coordinators wrote that the council's really increased its outreach to elected officials, both at the state, local, and at the federal level, highlighting our access to health care and priorities. Around other policy issues, I'm having mouse problems. The council has collected data and information to show that housing is an issue. It's important to show that this is a priority that should be supported and actively advocated for in our area. Along with these numeric data, we also asked councils to submit success stories and challenges. Again, the challenge for us was trying to figure out how to collect common data across the system of health councils, but also recognizing the diversity within the health council system. So we had 88 success stories in this 1 year, most around enhanced networks and partnerships, the next in around enhanced programs, capacity to respond to emerging issues. This is when they were doing a lot of disaster preparedness work, and then council recognition. Those were around issues related to how well they were covered in the media, what kind of media stories they were able to insert in their local papers. So this is an example of their success story. The Community Health Council and the County Detention Center submitted a justice and mental health planning grant to divert individuals who needed other kinds of services, and if they receive this money, then the planning grant makes the council eligible for an implementation grant. I actually don't know if they got the implementation grant. Do you know, Ron? I don't know. Okay. So in summary, I think that the online reporting process actually is a really good example of how we can work in participation and collaboration with really diverse and geographically diverse and culturally diverse coalitions like we have in New Mexico. We were able to collect common data across 32 health councils, and councils were also able to collect unique stories about their work. One of the things that we made sure the online system was able to do was for council coordinators to be able to extract data on their own. So they were able to produce their own reports based on any priority area, based on any time element, and based on any outcome indicator. So we were able to give them that in return for collecting a lot of data that was used at Christina's level, at the division level, for planning and evaluation purposes. And I think if I had one thing to say about councils, I would say that they were able to use their social capital and funding to maximize their contribution to their outcomes at their local level. So I'll stop there. Thank you.